is the one who has to work through all of those things with him. And we lay that before you, Father, in a very real way, Father, that your spirit today would be at work. Because the breakthrough that's needed, it's just needed that breakthrough, Father. And that's what we pray for, that breakthrough in his life. And we pray for Natalie's friend Steve and his son and all that's going on there. And we're just so joyful for what you're doing in our lives and for the grace you give to us and the forgiveness that's ours and for carrying us all through these things. And we pray for Jim, Father, and the struggles he's dealing with this morning. And pray you'll just be with him this week as he sees the doctors and all of that. And again, we thank you. You are worthy of all of our glory and honor and praise. And we just want to live for you today, Father, and give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Luke 14. And we've been talking in the last couple of weeks about Jesus at this dinner. And this dinner on a Sabbath with this Pharisee and the interchange that they've had. And last week we were talking about how he noticed that they were all jockeying for positions, and he began to tell the story. He told the parable, he was talking to them about take the humble position and be lifted up instead of trying to improve yourself and all of that, and about inviting, don't just invite people who can scratch your back, but invite people that really need help. And he's telling them all of this while he's sitting there, like I said, probably looking at this guy who is doing that very thing. And then you get to verse 15. And there are times, I have my Bible, again, it has a break between verse 14 and 15, and it says the parable of the large banquet, which makes you think, okay, he's changing subjects. This is all one thing. He finishes talking about... He says, on the contrary, when you have this banquet, invite those who are poor and lame and all of this to come in. And he finishes this statement, which is really a slam on his host. And when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God is blessed. You ever talk to someone and then you think, are you on the same planet with the rest of us? I've had those conversations with my kids over the years. Okay, did you not hear anything I said? it's just sort of, Jesus is talking about the banquet and all of this stuff, and we get that. And when I was thinking about this, I was realizing that, Jesus... there's a lot of things that take place. If you go through the Gospels and just sort of pull out what he says at the table, at a dinner, there's a remarkable amount of things that you can learn from Jesus' table conversation. We should write a book about that, about Jesus' table conversation. What you can learn from eating with Jesus, wouldn't that be good? We got to think that out. What can you learn from eating with Jesus, And because his table conversation is absolutely fabulous. And the people remember those things. I think we all remember sort of those special meals. We all remember the first time you had dinner with somebody, that was special to you. I remember the first time Kathy and I had dinner, just the two of us. I don't particularly remember what she said, but it really even wasn't particularly a date. It was just a Monday night. I was heading out the door to go eat somewhere, and this girl in the church called me, and she was in tears and just upset, and I said, well, I'm just heading out the door to eat. Why don't, we go sit down and eat and you can talk. So I picked her up. We went and sat in this restaurant and she talked for 2 hours. Nonstop. Just talked, talking out her issues and problems that she was having. And I don't think I said a word, But I remember that dinner because I took her back and dropped her off, You know, by that time it was dark, and so I walked her to the door in their apartment, in her apartment building, where you had to go in and down the hallway. So we're inside in a hallway, and she unlocked the door to her apartment, and then we stood there and talked back and forth, and actually conversed for another 2 hours. Our first date was the next week. That wasn't a date, but that's what, you know, I remember that. I don't remember all the dinners, but I remember that one. So we remember those things. Table conversations are important. And Jesus is, you know, when you realize that Jesus portrays heaven as a wedding reception where there's going to be a lot of table conversation, you know, you understand how important this is. And so this guy comes across, he's sitting at this table, he's listening to everything Jesus said, or is he? Jesus hasn't talked about eating in the kingdom of heaven at all. That's not been the topic of what this guy says in verse 15, is not what they've talked about at all. So Jesus tells him, turns to this guy who said, you know, the one who eats the bread in the kingdom of heaven, you know, is blessed. Yeah, well, duh. You know, Jesus addresses him. Can you imagine saying something that you think is really wonderful, and the person who's, you know, that has the center of attention turns to you and looks right at you and just tells this story? You know, talk about pressure. I wonder if the guy's withered, you know, just, you know. Jesus told him, you know, and that's very specific for this big table with all these people, you know, watching. A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. In Matthew, in this story, is told it is a wedding reception. It is in the context of a wedding reception. Luke doesn't include the context. He just talks about it. At the time of the banquet, he sent his slave to tell those who were invited, come, because everything is now ready. Now, the reason the wedding part of it is so important is, if we remember the process of the weddings in that culture, there was the betrothal announcement. A year later, the wedding would take place. Everybody knew everybody had been invited. It was all personal invitations, you know, that somebody over the course of time, and everybody said, oh, yeah, I want to come to that. And then when everything is ready, when the wedding takes place, then they send out all the kids and all the relatives and the slaves or whoever to all the people who have been invited saying the wedding feast is ready, now's the time to come. Okay. You've already RSVP'd and said, I will be there. You know, in our culture, you send out the invitation, they RSVP, say you're going to be there. So everything is ready. Make sure we get that context. This isn't the initial invitation. This is, you've RSVP'd, you've said you're looking forward to it, and I'll be there and everything. So when he sends out the servant saying, okay, it's ready, come, but without excuses, they all began to make, without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a field. I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I just got married. Therefore, I'm unable to come. The slave came back and reported these things to the master, and then in anger the master of the house told the slave, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. Master, the slave said, what you ordered has been done, and there's still room. Then the master said, told the slave, go into the highways and lanes and make them come in so that my house may be filled, for I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will enjoy my banquet. Dude, yeah. Okay. Context makes this make sense. We were at the dinner last night. Tables for 480 people. And at one point, I don't know if Kathy got out, went out to, we were waiting for it all to start when we first got in to get seated, and it was not a lot of people in there. And they were, at that point, you know, 20 minutes from when this is supposed to start, and only about 30% of the people had shown up. Okay? You have table hosts who invited people. Everybody has name tags. It's all laid out. This is the situation. You know, 500 people, and everybody said they would be there, and you have the food ready, you have everything ready, and now people are going to start making excuses? That's the context here. See, that's the context. So when this guy says, go out there and bring people in so my house will be full. The food is ready. Everything is ready. Just bring people in. You know, it's better to have a house, you know, and that's what he's doing. And if we understand that. But these guys start making excuses. And you got to just sort of, you get to these excuses and it's just sort of funny. I just bought a field and I need to go look at it. So you didn't look at it before you bought it? You know, why did he have to go see a field now? You know, my favorite is, I just bought 5 yoke oxen and I'm going to go try them out. That's like you plan this big meal for 6 weeks. And you talk to everybody, and everybody says they're going to come. And it's finally there, and you have all the food ready, and you're sitting there, and one of the people you've invited calls you up and said, I just got a new car. I can't come. I'm going to do a test drive. Yeah, you know. I just bought a new car. I'm going to take it for a drive. Just got married. Well, bring your wife. You know, there's obviously more going on here than just the surface of the story. You know, who is Jesus addressing? He's addressing the Pharisee and all of his invited guests, of which Jesus is one, but Jesus is the one who is on the spot. And everything he is saying, even to this guy who made this absolutely out of context ridiculous statement, is aimed at proving at making a point. And when he gets down with it tell you, not one of those men who were invited will enjoy my banquet. Jesus was the Messiah. And yet the Jews, you know, there were a lot of people who followed him, but when it comes down to it, at the time of his death, there were 12 guys. And then, you know, by the time you get to between his death and resurrection and Pentecost, there's about 150 people who stayed true to him out of the whole nation of Israel that he had come to save. Out of the whole nation of Israel, there's 150. You know what a small percentage that is? Jesus, not one of the people who were invited, going to eat at my banquet. You wondered why the Pharisees hated him. You know, they saw this reunion with God as a banquet. And Jesus is basically telling them, you know, they were acknowledging him. You know, we talked about that last week a little bit, how on the day or one of these, you know, on the day that Jesus, you know, came into the Palm Sunday kind of a day, they as a people acknowledged that he was the Messiah. They acknowledged it. That's what it was all about. That was the day the Messiah would show up. That was the day they proclaimed him. And everything they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. And all the things they said on the road were the things that they would say to the Messiah when he would come. They knew. They knew. Made me think of last night when this speaker was speaking about, and he was talking about what we know. And he was bringing up pamphlets and brochures from Planned Parenthood before Roe versus Wade, that plainly say life begins at conception. They said that over and over and over again. You know, what you know makes a difference. See, what you know makes a difference. And Jesus is sitting there going, these people just rejected him as a whole, and yet they acknowledged him on the day they were responsible for what they knew, so that when he died a few days later, they were responsible for rejecting him. Not one of them would eat at his table. Where this whole nation should be the first ones there, the invited ones made excuses. So he goes and gets the poor, the destitute, the lame, and all of, he comes and gets us. That's where we are. You realize that? When he says go out there in the streets and get all these people and bring them in, that's us. That's you and I. Okay. We get to eat at the table because his own people rejected him. When you get to verse 25, he's on the move again. I don't think he stayed there very long. I think when that dinner was over, it was time to vacate the premises. Elvis has left the building because they were not happy with him, you know. And because he has just told them that God is going to welcome, you know, the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame, go out into the highways and lanes and make them come in. Go out there and pick up anybody you can, because God's banquet is going to be full. God wants to fill his house. One of the basis of evangelism is God wants to fill his house. So we need to get everybody. Can't be selective. There's so many lessons. You see how many lessons there are? So many, you know, you could just go on and on and on and on with all of these implications of what he said. But I like that idea that God isn't going to, you know, even with all of the tables last night, we had Steve and Susan's daughter got a headache, migraine. So we had two empty seats at our table. Even this full house, there were a few empty seats here and there, you know. There won't be any empty seats to banquet in heaven. That's cool. That's really cool. Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for Jesus and just how pointed he is, and how here's, you know, we see this, Lord, and here is our hope that his own people turned away. So he came, you know, and the church went after the Gentiles. That's us. That's us being invited to the table. Thank you, Lord, for that invitation. Help us to take advantage of it. And help us to be aware, Father, that it's so easy to make excuses when you just want to have fellowship with us. Bless us to that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.